Some of you know that the year before I started seminary, I lived in New Haven, Connecticut. I worked with the Episcopal Service Corps for a year volunteering. As part of that program, we did many things, one of which was to go to Boston one weekend for a conference with the other programs. I can remember when I was growing up, Boston was always, for some reason, a city that I wanted to visit. I don't really know why. I don't know if it was Fenway Park, if it was the history of the city, or really what it was. But for some reason, the mystique of Boston was always there for me. So when we got this invitation, I was all about it. However, we needed somebody to drive us there. And if any of you have ever been to Boston, you know that this is not such an easy task. I assumed, though, that it was like every other big city I had driven in, and that everything would be fine and I would just figure it out when we got there. So we pull into the city. The GPS says 0.1 miles till your exit, 0.1 mile. 0.1 miles meant like 10 feet. So here we were in the left lane of a five-lane highway, needing to exit in a few feet. So we did a circle around the city. We came back again, and for some reason, either there weren't any signs or we missed it again, and there we were circling the city. Must have been three or four times I swore I'd never be back in that city, or at least never drive there again. There were no signs. I swear there were no signs. When we moved to D.C., my wife Ellen and I always lamented that there were never enough signs to tell us when to get off of the highway. We could never get off at the right time. We were always lost for like a year. Signs are abundantly helpful things, aren't they? They give us information about what to do in certain places or certain situations. They tell us where to go. They inform us about who we might ask for more information. They let us know and reassure us that as we are going on our road, that we are headed in the right way. And they help us prepare for what is to come. This time of year, signs are in particular abundance. Neighbors, or maybe ourselves, we have put Christmas lights up. Our houses and our yards are full of inflatable reindeer or Santa. Emails flood our inboxes, offer upon offer, coupon upon coupon, deal upon deal. Every day has a different name. Familiar seasonal music fills the radio to the joy of some, and for others, I'll put myself in this group, it's practice for how quickly we can change the station. Christmas, the signs are saying, is here. Christmas, the signs are saying, is here. It would certainly seem that way, wouldn't it? The rush to get on with this season, the rush to get here, has been in full force since October or August in some places. We are on our way to Bethlehem at full speed ahead. But now we walk into this space on this day and hear that there are four more weeks of Advent. The signs and the words proclaimed in this place, signs like those four candles, the purple of the season, signaling to us, among other things, a time of preparation. Invite us to prepare our hearts, to feel the sense of anticipation, to wait expectantly, and to hope. It's a profoundly different message than that hurry up and get here message our world wishes for us to hear. In Advent, we prepare to receive the ultimate sign to the world that God loves us, that God wants to be with us, and that God will redeem us. We see these signs, yes, in the form of a small boy born in a stable in Bethlehem. And we see those signs in what the gospel writers frequently describe as something like, when the Son of Man comes with power and great glory. They describe scenes when the sun and the moon and the stars will be shaken and on earth, distress. people will experience fear because of the powers of the heavens will be shaken. In these two sets of signs, we see the essence of Advent. Yes, the baby boy born on December 25th, and reindeer and Santa. But also, and even more, about the inbreaking of Christ into the world that day so long ago and now, but also at the end of the age when Christ will return to restore all people and all things to himself. We're familiar with the image of the baby, right? That makes sense to us for our understanding of the season. Whenever the world ever talks about Jesus, it seems like we're talking about that perfect blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby in the manger. We get that. So what is all of this talk about the end of the age, the signs of when the seas and the stars and the skies will be in uproar? I thought this was about an innocent child, not the end of the age. Well, it is about our Savior's birth, but as Christians, we believe that we are always in those last days, awaiting Christ's advent, Christ's second advent to earth, Christ's return once again. Part of this reason that this doesn't jive with our understanding of Advent and Christmas is that we like to think of this season as peaceful and holy and still and calm and pleasant white snow. Not like the movies or other descriptions where there's earthquakes and disaster and floods and lightning. However, Scripture does describe those moments. The language of the second advent does have some language around that, but even more, within this description, within this sign, we hear this call from the Gospel of Luke. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. A writer offers his own translation of the Greek and says, stand up straight and lift your head because your rescue has drawn close. Your rescue has drawn close. In this, we see that the signs of this season aren't so much about lights or songs or yard decorations. Instead, in Advent, the signs we are called to look for are ones that remind us that our redemption and our rescue is close, and to be signs telling the world the same. We do so not only because Christ calls us to in his love for the world, but because the world needs to know that Christ is near and drawing nearer every day to set us free, to rescue us, to redeem us. I suppose the natural follow-up question is, what do we need to be rescued from? What are the signs of our time saying to us? And in the past couple of weeks, I imagine the answer might come more readily than other times. To some of us, the signs of our day may be saying that human beings are struggling to care for their neighbor, favoring violence over peace. To some of us, they may be saying we are a people who would rather live without forgiveness and in anger, instead of in love and mercy. To some of us, they may be saying that this world is not what it used to be, and we are losing touch with our care and concern for our fellow human being. To some of us, they may be offering not direction out of this way of living, but further guidance into it. These and more seem to be the signs that this world is offering us today. The hope and the promise of Advent and the signs we see within it say something else. They offer direction away from this being, this way of being, so that one into one that dwells in the joy and hope and peace of Christ's promises for all of God's people. Another author writing on Advent shares that Jesus tells us that there are signs that indicate the arrival, the Advent, the presence, and the power of the kingdom of God. Such signs can show us our redemption and our Redeemer. This is an important part of what we need to be about as children of that kingdom, looking for its signs. We can look for them, for they are all around. Many times during the rush and chaos of this season, we need to be reminded that we are redeemed, that we are loved, and that there is hope. Christ's invitation in him is to become aware of the fact that you have been freed and rescued and redeemed, and when you need it, and at all times, to look for those signs. But even more, we can be them. We can be the signs in this world, especially during this season and always, that our Redeemer is near and drawing nearer. We can in our lives show the truth that we know and believe in ourselves and in our beings, that the signs of this world will fail. They will not endure. The signs of God's promises that God loves us and will rescue us and redeem us will always be true. Because in the end, we know that love defeats hate. We know that peace rules over violence. We know that a care for our neighbors and concern for our fellow human being is a way of being that we are called to participate in, not one that seeks selfish gains. In this, in doing so, we serve as the signs in this world pointing people to or back to God. In this, we remind people that their redemption is near and is here. Our lives can be the signs directing people on a journey to remember that they are loved and forgiven. So let us, in this week and in this season, prepare our hearts and live so as to receive the birth of our Savior. That is something to prepare for. But even more, let us lift up our heads and see all around us signs of our redemption, and be signs of that loving redemption that God has for all of God's people and for this whole world. Amen.